Have any of you got a letter or an invitation at home that should have been responded to before now? Maybe it's an invitation to a friend's birthday party or retirement party, and you haven't replied to it yet. Perhaps it's an invitation to a wedding, but the date clashes with your holiday plans, and so the invitation for the time being is set to the one side. Maybe your optician or dentist has sent you more than one reminder about a checkup, but no response has been made. There's a word for not acting on something we know we should be acting on. And that word is procrastination. It's a big word, but it's a fairly easy word to understand. To procrastinate is to put off or delay. To procrastinate is to linger on a matter we know we should be attending to. This next piece of information isn't meant to be taken too seriously. But I read recently that there are some things that men are better at than women. And one of the things men do better than women is this. They are better at putting things off until tomorrow. Men, I'm told, procrastinate more than women. But the reality is we all at some time put something off that we know we should be dealing with. Procrastination is not uncommon. Putting things off is just something many of us do at some time or other. Now, some of the things we procrastinate on are not too important, but others are. As a man came in from work one day, he noticed a few bees buzzing around in the area of the attic. Since there were only a few, he made no attempt to deal with them. Over the summer, the bees continued to fly in and out of the attic while the man remained unconcerned about their growing numbers. The few bees, as you can imagine, soon became a very busy hive, and after a while, the ceiling began to sag and fall in under the weight of the honey. A problem the man could have avoided had he dealt with it earlier. He procrastinated. He delayed on an important matter. He left to tomorrow, so to speak, what he should have done today. Some of the things we procrastinate on, we delay on, don't matter so much. Others do. We read earlier from Acts chapter 24. And in those verses, we come across the Apostle Paul making the case for Jesus, explaining Jesus to a Roman ruler called Felix. The situation was this. Some of the Jewish religious leaders were unhappy with Paul's preaching and teaching. And they were really trying to silence Paul. And if not silence him, then the next best thing would be to restrict his movements. Here in Acts 24, Paul is being kept under guard in Herod's palace in a place called Caesarea. After a while, Paul is brought before Felix to give an account of himself, or if you like, to explain himself. But while defending himself before Felix, Paul, never one to miss an opportunity, began to speak to Felix about faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 24 and verse 24 says this. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, it isn't so much Paul that I want us to think about today, it's Felix. Because here is a man who was in the delay mode, who procrastinated. Here's a man who delayed on an important matter, a matter that would decide and determine his eternal destiny. Just two things I want to say about Felix as we find him in Acts 24. And you know, some of us just might see ourselves in him. First, Felix delayed on Jesus, even though he had knowledge of him. We can safely say that Felix knew about the growing Christian church, and he knew who the early Christians were trusting and following. This comes out at verse 22. There we read, "Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings." Now, these few words in verse 22, they say more than we might think they say. When it says here that Felix was well acquainted with the way, we are being told something important. You see, the first Christians, the first followers of Jesus Christ, were sometimes referred to as the people of the way. Maybe this had something to do with Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So when it says in verse 22 of our reading that Felix was well acquainted with the way, we can conclude that he was familiar with the message of Jesus Christ. He was familiar with who he was and what he was about. Some commentators go so far as to say this, that to be well acquainted with the way means that Felix had accurate knowledge, precise knowledge of the story of Jesus. I suggest to you that Felix knew about Jesus going to his death on a cross. And Paul would have explained to Felix that Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. As Paul talked about the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, Felix was being made aware of his need to have faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of his sins. When Paul talked to Felix about faith in Jesus Christ, he would have left nothing out concerning God's plans. He would have left nothing out concerning the sacrifice of Jesus for sin. Paul would have left nothing out concerning the way of salvation. Felix had a knowledge, accurate knowledge of Jesus, but still he resisted him, put him off, still procrastinated. In conversation recently with an elderly man, I got around to asking him where he was or how he was with God. And he said he believed in God. But then I pressed a little. When I brought Jesus into the conversation about him being the way to God, I could see the man wasn't comfortable with the idea that access to God is through Jesus Christ, that the way to God the Father is through Jesus the Son. The man then said this, "There's no need for the middleman. No need for Jesus." Well, let's remind ourselves of some words of Paul found in 1 Timothy 2 and at verse 5. 1 Timothy 2 and at verse 5, we read these words. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men." For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Between God who is holy and I who am sinful, there is a middleman, and I use that term with respect. Between God who is holy and I who am sinful, there is a middleman, a mediator, the man Christ Jesus. The way to God the Father is through Christ the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, for some time in his life, Paul saw no need for the middleman, no need for Jesus or for faith in him. But an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus to harass Christians changed all that. And from then on, no one stood up for Jesus. No one contended for Jesus more than Paul did. Folks, it is possible to know about Jesus and about what he has done through his cross. It's possible to know that we need a personal relationship with Jesus, that we need to put our faith in him and see him as the answer to our sin and our hope for heaven. It's possible to know all of this, but still procrastinate, still put off, still hold back, still hold out on trusting Jesus as Savior. I wonder, are some of us procrastinating, delaying in relation to faith in Jesus Christ? Are some of us putting off until tomorrow what we really need to attend to today? Like Felix, there are those of us who have enough knowledge, accurate knowledge about Jesus, about who he is, and about what he has done. But still we go on as we are without him in our lives. The first thing we notice about Felix, he procrastinated on Jesus, even though he had a knowledge of him. Second, Felix delayed even though his heart was stirred. That's the sense we get from verse 24. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. And verse 25, as Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. As God's servant Paul spoke to Felix about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix realized that there were some things in his life that weren't right. His heart was stirred. Some versions say his heart was troubled. We might say Felix was rattled. For instance, as Paul spoke to Felix about righteousness, what was he getting at? He was reminding Felix of how unrighteous we are of ourselves in the sight of God who is holy. Good and all as a person may be or can be, we are still deemed unrighteous as far as God is concerned. Here's what Paul says in Romans 3, verse 10. There is no one righteous, not even one. So as Paul spoke to Felix on the matter of righteousness, he was reminding him of how unrighteous he was in the sight of God. But Paul would not have stopped there. Not only was Paul reminding Felix of his sinful nature, he would have gone on from there to tell Felix about a righteousness he could have, a righteousness, a robe of righteousness that is given to all who confess their sin and accept by faith what Jesus has done. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 makes the point for us. Speaking there of Jesus, Paul says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. As Paul spoke to Felix on the matter of righteousness, he would have reminded him of how unrighteous he was in the sight of God who was holy, but he would have gone on from there to tell him about a righteousness he could have and would have as a gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ. And as the apostle spoke to Felix on the matter of self-control, well, he was challenging Felix about his lifestyle and the need for change. Because history tells us, secular records tell us, that Felix and Drusilla lived anything but decent and upright lives. And we get a hint of that in the use of the word bribe in verse 26. You see, Felix just might have done a favor for Paul had Paul or his friends given him some money. And as Paul spoke to Felix on the matter of judgment, he was probably saying to him something like this: Felix, you may be able to escape the judgment of men, given the position you hold. You're a man, Felix, with the ability to protect yourself from the judgment of others, but you will not be able to escape the judgment of God to come. Paul addressed important issues with Felix on righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. And how do we find the response of Felix to the preaching and the warnings of Paul? We find that he was listening to Paul. We find that he was stirred, troubled, moved, rattled by the message about Jesus Christ. Here's a man who knew that things were not right in his life. Here's a man who was stirred concerning his sin and his need to be forgiven and saved. But still he procrastinated, ignoring the stirrings in his heart. Felix was so unlike the Philippian jailer we read about back in Acts 16. When the message of Jesus was explained to him, he believed. And as he did, he had a new start in life with Jesus. When his heart was stirred, he took notice. And in turning to Jesus, he found that he was welcomed and accepted and came into peace with God and had peace within himself, as did his family. And also, of course, in Acts 16, we have Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, who accepted Jesus as soon as she had heard about who he was and what he had done for her. Someone here today, you know something about the stirrings of God in the past? Perhaps he has challenged you as you read his word in private, challenged you in a church service, a mission service, challenged you through a time perhaps of illness. Maybe it's spoken through the testimony of a Christian friend, but still you are procrastinating. Oh, what a patient Savior Jesus is. He has put up with our procrastination. He has put up with us putting him off. And yet still he comes to us knocking at the door of our hearts that we might open to him, that we might say no to our sin and yes to what he has done for us. Felix delayed on Jesus, even though he had knowledge of him. He procrastinated, though his heart was stirred. And that's just how it might be with someone here today. As you reflect on life, you see something of yourself in Felix. You've had opportunity after opportunity to acknowledge your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin and peace with God, but you've done nothing about it. The last verse of Acts 24 tells us that in 2 years, Felix was replaced by another governor, and we hear nothing more about him. Oh, it would be so encouraging to find Felix responding positively to Jesus before the book of Acts ends. But we don't. The last mention of Felix is in verse 14 of Acts 25, mentioned there just in passing. We don't know why Felix put off such an important matter. We don't know why he procrastinated and held out on Jesus, but he did. Something worth noticing as we conclude is this: what Felix said after Paul had explained the way of Jesus to him, partway through verse 25. Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Friends, so far as we know, Felix died waiting for a convenient time to get right with God. Friends, a convenient time is the present. These are the only moments we're sure of. There's no certainty of a convenient time in the future. Tomorrow is not promised, not guaranteed to anyone. George Root puts it this way in one of his hymns: "Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he's shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come." If you are in Christ today, a man, a woman, a young person, trusting Christ as your Savior, be thankful to God. Be thankful and glad for what he has done for you and in you. And if you've never done so, will you come today? Have done with delay and decide for Jesus and be right with God through faith in him. Let's pray. Lord, help us to get a sense of how important we are to you and how greatly loved we are by you. So much so that you sent Jesus into the world to make forgiveness for sin and eternal life with you graciously and wonderfully possible. Help us to be positively responsive to your invitation to come and to follow. Helped in all of this by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.